If you're ready to take your destiny into your own hands, you've come to the right place. This is The Bulletproof Entrepreneur, featuring interviews with the most exciting and amazing entrepreneur. Here's your host, Chi Odogwu.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bulletproof Entrepreneur Podcast. On each episode of the podcast, I try to bring on entrepreneurs who will teach you just what you need to grow your business and see massive results in a short period of time. And today's episode is no exception. In today's episode of the show, I'm talking to Judy Robinette. Judy is a business thought leader who has been profiled in Fast Company, Forbes, VentureBeat, The Huffington Post, Bloomberg, and Business Week. For 30 years, she's helped entrepreneurs find needed capital by connecting them with venture capitalists, angel investors, and other sources of funding. She's written a new book titled Crack the Funding Code: How Investors Think and What They Need to Hear to Fund Your Startup. But you know what? It's not only good to be able to tell the right story to investors who could possibly fund your startup, but a lot of startup entrepreneurs find that they do not know where to find the investors to speak with them. So that's why I partnered with Collision Conference. Collision Conference is North America's biggest startup conference where entrepreneurs, thought leaders, investors, and innovators meet to support new ideas, showcase the latest innovations, and discuss the issues that will determine the way we will navigate the world of business and technology in the future. So if you're looking to attend a conference that you could possibly meet up to 2,000 investors and mingle and network with over 25,000 other attendees who could possibly become co-founders in your startup, people that you can mastermind with, Collision Conference is the best place for you to be. And Collision Conference is going to be held in Toronto, Canada from May 20th to the 23rd. You can still get your tickets because you know what? These tickets are not going to last long. It's one of the hottest selling conferences in the world today. So, if you're still interested in getting a ticket to attend Collision Conference, go to www.collisionconf.com. So that's www.collisionconf.com. I'll read that out again. That's www.collisionconf.com. If you're going to come to the conference, do let me know. I'd love to see you there. I'll be podcasting live from Collision Conference, and I'd love to meet any of my listeners who are attending the show so that I can get your experiences. Can't wait to see you at Collision Conf this May 23rd in Toronto, Canada. Till next time, see you. Chi Odogwu out. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Bulletproof Entrepreneur Podcast. Now, I have a fabulous guest on the show today. She's a lady who's known as the lady with the titanium Rolodex. Judy Robinette is the funding expert. She's world renowned. She's been featured in Fast Company, Forbes, Vogue magazine, CNN, and Bloomberg Business Week. She's the leading new breed of super connectors who apply their experience and network to accelerate growth and enhance profitability for companies. She has built her career over 30 years and has helped several entrepreneurs find the capital by connecting them with venture capitalists, angel investors, and other sources of funding. She's also a TEDx speaker. She's spoken at MIT, AT&T, and Walmart. Her new book is titled Crack the Funding Code: How Investors Think and What They Need to Hear to Fund Your Startup. I'm pleased to have Judy on the show today to tell us a little bit about how we can raise capital to grow our businesses. So with that said, Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm just delighted to be here. And there's nothing better I love to do than to help people get funded. And I wrote that book because I was so weary of traveling the world and meeting great founders who had a solid business model and just were kind of stuck in that maze of trying to figure out who the investors are and how to get money from them.
Mm. Now, Judy, I know the foreword of your book was written by Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, but you've had a long career. You've been a CEO of a public company. You've been a CEO of a private company, and you've also worked in and you've helped and sat on the boards of several venture capital funds. But before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about your own career trajectory. What brought you to where you are today?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I grew up in this little tiny town in Idaho. For your listeners who saw the movie Napoleon Dynamite, I went to that same high school. And I started life actually as a social worker and then got tired of seeing kids abused and went and got a master's in econ and ended up in the Fortune 500 world. But man, I started getting nauseous when I thought about going to work on Monday mornings and had to figure out something else. And I had given a small presentation at MIT, and somebody handed me a Wall Street Journal, and they had an article of a study on how to become financially independent in America. And it said there's five ways: be a doctor, a lawyer, inherit it, or marry it. And I thought, well, those are out. And number five was start a business. And I went, wow, how hard could it be to do a business? And stupid me, I went and got an SBA loan for $1.2 million and started a franchise restaurant that a year eight thought I was going bankrupt. I'll never forget being so terrified, going to this attorney, and he looked at my financials and he said, "You're not even close." And I said, "But I'm out of cash." And he said, "Listen, Judy, they can break you, but they can't eat you." And that really was a key lesson to kick fear to the curb. I turned that company around, sold it, and have just been enamored with startups ever since.
Okay, so Judy, you just said something very powerful there, and that is you grew this business for 8 years and you ran out of cash, but that information, that kick in the pants that lawyer gave you, tell us a little bit about that situation where you were running out of cash, you know, pulling your hair out, you didn't know what to do. What were your feelings in that moment, and what did you actually pull out of yourself to say, hey, I'm going to turn this around?
Well, you know, I thought long and hard about it, and I went back and talked to my business partner, and we just decided we were going to put, you know, some steel up our spine and figure it out. And, you know, initially we prioritized the bills that we had. We figured out how to do inventory turns much faster. And a matter of fact, we were so good at it, Sysco Food Service hired us to write a booklet that then was used by restaurants all over on, you know, how to deal with inventory. And so, you know, we got some input from good people, but it was really saying, you know, I don't care. What can you do to me? You know, you can't take my house. You can't kill me. And, you know, I kind of became... I wouldn't say aggressive, but certainly assertive with the loan officers saying, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I knew by the time they would go through all of the paperwork to, you know, do something that I would perceive as rather horrid, we were able to turn it around.
Okay. That's very good.
And, you know, every one of these situations you have, if you go through it, there's always a way under, over, through, or around, and it literally puts steel up your spine.
Yeah.
And that really prepared me to then be CEO of a public company for about 10 years. But when I took over, they'd been delisted, they were in litigation, and they were broke. And I was able to go raise millions of dollars for them and ran that company for 10 years. And so what I found out, you know, if I ask entrepreneurs, tell me where you'd be if the worst thing that happened to you hadn't happened. And they will tell me they would have been in a worse place. And you just realize, research shows, and this is Clayton Christensen from Harvard, that 70% of businesses go through a pivot. And so that's good. You know, you have to be able to pivot, change your dream a bit. But if other people have figured it out, you can figure it out too.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Now, you said something there, which is you went out and you started raising capital. I know your first book was centered on how to be a power connector or a super connector. So tell us a little bit more before we transition into the new book, which is Cracking the Funding Code, is why is it so important to actually have a good network in place before you even think of starting to raise capital for anything?
Yeah. So, you know, I had a VC tell me, if you can't figure out how to get to me, you can't figure out how to get a customer. They don't like cold calls. They prefer referrals from people that, you know, they know. And it's actually pretty simple to do. So I wrote the first book because I had been shy and was really bullied. And when I got to the corporate world, I looked around and I thought, you know, there's other people out here getting promotions. What's wrong with me? Mm. And research shows if you've been raised lower to middle class, you're taught, get a great degree, you know, join a company, work hard, don't ask for help. People will notice. Mm. And I discovered people didn't notice. And I found out that, you know, behind that org chart was this whole different group of power people who really made decisions in the company. And so I read How to Win Friends and Influence People. And, you know, I was scared to talk to people. And after I did that and just started saying hello, using their name, I, you know, much to my surprise, people liked talking to me. Hmm. And, you know, half of the people in the world consider themselves shy. But, you know, psychiatrists will tell you the number's really 12%, that the rest is like me. It was an issue of self-worth. And so, and I had so much success that I kept doing it. And so, you know, this has landed me at the White House, at the Royal Palace for dinner. I have a TV interview coming up on Fox Business Mornings with Maria that, frankly, I'm a little nervous about, but excited. And, you know, I was a nobody from a little town, never went to Harvard, none of that stuff. So I found out how critical people are. Nothing happens without people. There's no lack of resources on this planet. There's 269 trillion of private global wealth and 7.4 billion people, so many ideas you couldn't count them. And, you know, information doubling everywhere. But most people don't know how to get in the right room.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I wrote the book, to kind of say all the resources are out there, but you need to get out of your comfort zone and have people, you know, the big mistake I find with people with the network they have is it's people of no influence and no power.
Mm.
And also it tends to be people just like you. You go to conferences because you're all attorneys or accountants.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes time to find a new job, move up in your career, try to find funding, you're screwed because you need to set in place some of those relationships early.
Early, yeah. But Judy, one of the things I've noticed in that world is that a lot of people feel they don't have value to bring to somebody that is like a high level person, you know. So take, for example, yes, you want to befriend a billionaire or multi-millionaire or centimillionaire, so to speak, but you're just a guy sitting there working in the cubicle, you're an associate or a manager or something, and you happen to say, okay, you find your way and get into a conference, but what are you going to say in front of this person? You know, I know a lot of people get nervous thinking, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything of value to bring to this person that'll be interesting to this person. What do you say to that when people bring up such limiting beliefs?
You know, I tell them it's false.
Mm.
It is amazing what you can do to add value. And it's as simple as finding a high-end article, research report, getting it to them. It's nice to have a kind listening ear. I mean, the big thing people say about Clinton is, you know, he looked you in the eye. You really felt like you were the only person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you an example. So, you know, I call it my three golden questions. And the first one is, how can I help you? So last year I went to Pebble Beach, Tencent spent, you know, $1 million on the top booth. And I don't golf, but at the event, it was, you know, curated private invites. I met a billionaire VC and I went up to him and I said, what do you need help with? And he said, you know, I have got this AI, artificial intelligence conference coming up and I need to find a couple of speakers. And I said, happy to help. And what happens is when you first start adding value, then people... then you become much more capable of doing it and realizing it's easy and you don't have to worry. You can make a key introduction. You can suggest your favorite book.
Mm.
And if you just start this where you are before you meet a billionaire, and then you realize all of these people are human beings. They've all got problems. Mm-hmm. If you're alive, you've got problems. Everybody needs help. So your problem is somebody else's solution. So I'll often meet with entrepreneurs and they're scared to death to go in front of an angel group and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm desperate, I'm broke. They know you're broke. They know you need money. But their big problem is finding a great deal. I mean, they live and die by deal flow. Mm-hmm. So you're doing them a favor.
Mm. Interesting. And what are the other two questions for those that will be curious to know? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the other two? You said your first three questions.
Sorry.
Yeah,
that's okay. Okay, I'm sorry. So the second one is you tell them about your project, and then you say, what other ideas do you have for me? And then the third one is, who else do you know I should talk to? Now, this has resulted on me getting on panels with Mark Cuban and being invited to the White House and going to the Royal Palace for dinner. And I really did grow up in a town of 800 people in Idaho. I didn't go to Harvard, any fancy school. And those three questions are just critical. And what happens when you ask people, you know, who else do you know I should talk to? You'll often see them kind of turn their head and think, and they'll go, oh, you need to talk to Bill.
Mm.
And oftentimes you have to ask because some people aren't as good. Now, when I meet someone, I'm immediately, you know, my little radar goes up and I'm thinking, how might I help this person? Mm. Who could I connect them to? What introduction, what event might I send them to? Could I share an article? But some people need to be prodded a little, and those are two really easy asks. What other ideas? Who else do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to literally crowdsource through their 600 to 1,000 connections to find a couple of key people in that network, and then you repeat it with those people.
This episode is brought to you by Collision Conference. Collision Conference is North America's biggest startup conference where entrepreneurs, thought leaders, investors, and innovators meet to support new ideas, showcase the latest innovations, and discuss the issues that will determine how we will navigate the world of business and technology in the future. The conference starts May 20th to the 23rd in Toronto, Canada, and you can secure your tickets by going to www.collisionconf.com. That's www.collisionconf.com. See you there. So, Judy, let's dive into the new book, Cracking the Funding Code. I read through the book, like I told you before, as we're in the pre-chat. I loved it. It talks a lot about how to get money, how to find the right investors, and what investors need to hear. But in your own words, you know, what were some of the biggest obstacles that led you to write this book after you've seen this happen in your over 30-year career?
So, you know, most people don't understand who the different players are in the funding ecosystem. For instance, there's 300 angel groups throughout the United States. I just talked to a fellow yesterday and asked him to Google Charlotte, Carolina, and he said, oh my gosh, there's four angel groups here. And angels typically like to invest locally.
Mm.
And if you Google anywhere, you're going to find angel groups. You can do the same thing with family offices. And by the way, the majority of family offices are now investing in startups. And so are corporate venture capitalists. And there's actually more of those than there are regular ones. So Walmart has an arm. They look for acquisitions that would be potentially a fit. They will invest with usually something like a right of first refusal if somebody's going to buy your company. And so, you know, the first thing is not understanding that the investors are everywhere and they're around you. Another great way to find them is find the local attorney and accountant that work with startups. And you can find that out by asking the chamber or go to SCORE or the SBA in the United States or the SBDC. These are all free resources. They all know where investors are. And so after I get them educated on there's lots of money out there, lots of places to go, I'll typically have them go get on New York Angels website. It's arguably the best angel group in the world. It tells you exactly what you need to have in your pitch deck, what the application process is. And so then it is coming up, packaging your deal. And by packaging, you know, having a great pitch deck of only 10 to 12 slides, and it takes some real work to get down to having a powerful, succinct message. And part of it is getting good performers. And I recommend David Meister, who's out of New York, who was recommended to me by the New York Angels because he's worked at VCs and he knows how to review and give input on financials that are for startups. And then the other thing I focus on is telling founders that the way you set yourself apart from all the other potential people pitching as a high potential startup is first be really aware what your exit strategy is and what comparables are, because investors want their money back. Mm-hmm. And then to really mitigate risk as viewed by the investor. And so you need to put yourself in the investor's shoes. And the best way to do that is take your pitch deck and find a successful entrepreneur or an angel and ask them if they would just give you feedback. So then you're prepared to go in front of an angel group because you don't want to burn through that introduction.
Mm, true, very true. And looking at it from the other side, okay, we're talking about the technicals now. We're building the pitch deck. You know, we know where to go. But most of the time, you have all this, and then it is, okay, I'm just the tech guy. I'm the coder. I don't have, you know, the presentation savvy or skill set. I am not that good a salesman. What have been some of the biggest deal breakers that cause investors to say, hey, I don't want to invest in this guy, even though he's a smart guy?
Well, you know, angels are very forgiving. Most of them have been entrepreneurs who've had successful exits and they love to coach. And one of the ways to get kicked out of the room is to be arrogant or a know-it-all. Mm. But many of them will help you. It also could help to go to an incubator. There's 1,000 of them around the world. Go to pitch events, go to your local university or college, which all have entrepreneurial programs. And again, the SBA and SCORE and the SBDC will actually help you develop your pitch deck and your financials for free. And so that's a good point to start. But I'll tell you, so a few things that I often hear that are just, you know, death in the water for someone to say during their pitches. You know, I've got no competition. Well, if you've got no competition, there's no market. My other favorite one is, if I just get 0.5% of the Chinese market, our company will be valued at $1 billion next year. Well, Facebook wasn't valued at $1 billion next year. And that concerns me about your thinking ability, your inability to do homework and be realistic. And in those cases, people don't want to give you money. Mm-hmm. And so as Jack Welch says, you know, get better reality and do that by working with some of these people that offer their services for free. And they're everywhere, frankly, they're everywhere.
Mm. And there was one thing I grabbed onto when I was reading the book, which was you talked a lot about, you know, how to develop the character that is essential to winning a deal. You talked about coachability and you talked about confidence. Now, why are those three C's very important to a founder when going into developing the mindset of a great pitchman for your business?
Sure. So, you know, investors are betting on you and they're not going to fund you and forget it. That's the way to lose your money. So mm-hmm. they want to be able to coach you, to work with you. Often you'll hear behind the scenes investors saying, you know, they need some adult supervision. You know, we're interested in working with them. And the way to do that is to put some high-powered advisors on your board. I've helped people get, you know, a past CFO from PayPal or a director from Microsoft, people that can really lend gravitas and add credibility to help you. But being coachable means showing that you can learn and that you're willing to learn because you don't know it all. And certainly the investors, most of them have been through this before, and so they want to be able to coach you. The second one is character. And, you know, Howard Stevenson, who was known as the lion of entrepreneurism at Harvard, once, well, he wrote a book to teach people how to invest. And in it, he said, the first lie and truth you hear or exaggeration, run, don't walk, you'll lose your money. Mm. And so if you're asked in a meeting something you don't know, say, you know, I don't know that. I'll get back to you on that. Never exaggerate. Never say, you know, try to just cram, come up with something that you clearly don't know the answer. Because they're looking at your character. They will look at how you can resolve conflict. The third one is confidence. And, you know, if you there's a concern that if you really lack confidence, how can you really find, how can you really do sales? And sales are absolutely critical. And, you know, hearing they can break you, but they can't eat you from the attorney really helped me. But the best thing that helped me when I became CEO of a public company, the first 3 months I walked around the house going, I can't be the CEO of a public company, even though it was a little one and should have never been. My PR guy took me aside and he shared when he was with this big PR firm that they had asked him to be an actor in a little training video for Hewlett-Packard. And he enjoyed it so much, he went and found an agent, but he got turned down all the time. And his agent sent him to a character actor who made him twice a day for 5 minutes walk around the room and say out loud, I am perfect for the part. I am perfect for the part. And I did that and it worked. And so I often share with entrepreneurs, you know, before you get in the meeting and have to go, it's showtime, say that. And then realize you are the solution to their problem. They are looking for a good deal. You are doing a favor for them. And so those three are pretty critical. And you just realize, number one, they're investing in you.
Okay. So, but Judy, what if, okay, we go through this whole process, you know, we build up our confidence, get the pitch deck right, find investors, get introductions, we raise capital, we fund our project, and it fails. And then we say, oh man, my venture has failed, you know, I don't think anybody's going to fund me again. You know, how do you advise people who have raised money first, the first venture failed, and then, you know what, they come back because they're entrepreneurs and they always have, you know, something else in the works and eventually, and they say they want to try again. When it comes to failure and dealing with failure, what's your advice for people listening who are also in startup mode thinking, okay, maybe this thing is failing and I don't know what's going to happen when it does?
Well, first, make sure you go to advisors and get help and make sure that you may need to pivot. All companies needed to pivot. 70% of them need to pivot. But if indeed you're having a failure, it really is no big deal. And actually, investors like people who've gone through a failure and absorbed the lessons learned so they don't do it again.
Okay. Now, as we start to wind down the interview, Judy, I have a couple personal directed questions for you. And the first one is this. Looking back on your career thus far, with your experience, do you think there's anything you think you could have done differently that would have moved you further along?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I was really fearful and lacked self-confidence. And I'll tell people, if you have this problem, take a piece of paper and write across the top victory log and then number from 1 to 50. Write all the things you've accomplished, big things, little things, and review it regularly. It's shown that that's the number one way to increase your self-esteem. If I could have learned earlier that, you know, most things won't kill you, I would have probably taken more risk. But I'm pretty much a risk taker. I try to be calculated risk. I also would have been better with the ask. And, you know, I learned later in life that 95% of people on the planet are wonderful human beings. And if you ask, they will help you. You know, if not, you don't care. You just say next. And that also you want to avoid the dark triad, the Machiavellian, the narcissistic, and the sociopaths. And Oprah once said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And that would have helped me suffer a couple of bricks to the head, avoid them. And I kind of knew. I kind of knew there was a problem. But, you know, I'd often say, oh, you know, maybe they're better educated than me. Maybe I'm not communicating well enough. So listen to your intuition.
And as we stick on that for a little bit, apart from your first startup where it failed and then you turned it around, in your professional career helping companies raise funds and coaching people, have you experienced any significant failure in terms of, you know, you had the right connections, put the right founder in place, and then things didn't quite go as you planned? And then what did you do, on what lessons did you learn from that?
So, you know, certainly a couple of times I've thought we had everything perfect and got it in what I thought was the right investors. And actually we were in the wrong room. So one woman who had a medical device out of Park City, Utah, I found that it was important for me to get her out of Utah and take her to San Francisco and Boston, to a different kind of angel group. And that's something I will tell you, that different angel groups like to invest in different areas. So if you're into medical devices, go to Life Science Angels in San Francisco. Do the research on the groups. Now, there are national angel groups, and it's everything from, you know, TechCrunch to Golden Seeds, which focuses on women founders. And you can get advice from people like Springboard. I'm on their board. It's a not-for-profit that helps women. They've had women founders with 17 IPOs. I think we've raised $17 billion. So be persistent. That one is really critical. And I have worked with a couple of people who I thought listened to everything I said, got them in front of a great investor group, and then tripled what I told them to say for the valuation.
Wow.
And the deal was immediately dead in the water.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And my final question for the day, Judy, before I let you go, is when it comes to the funding landscape and the startup landscape today, you know, there's a lot of bad information out there, especially when you hear things like, oh, you know, fake it till you make it, or like you just said now, somebody inflated their valuation 3 times, and of course that led to a bad result. But looking at people that are thinking of starting up or are still transitioning from corporate into wanting to do their own thing, what are some of the best words of wisdom you can share to help them get on that path to entrepreneurship and start figuring out how to either raise capital for their business or even get that their first business or first product out the door?
Well, first realize that there's many, many people that are successful at doing this. Kaufman's study showed that the average age of a co-founder is 49. And the nice thing about people that have been in the corporate world is they've got a world of experience, expertise, and wisdom. An example you can go look up is Little Passports. It's two women that left eBay and have started very successful companies. I'm currently working with a retired anesthesiologist out of the University of Utah who's invented a medical device that will be very successful. So there's lots of people who have taken the path. You know, make sure that you deal with reputable characters. You don't want these people who say, you know, give me $1,000 and I'll get you funded. That's hogwash. Make sure that you know, get referrals from people who know that you know and trust. And by the way, investors must know you, like you, and trust you to fund you.
Okay. Awesome. And with that said, Judy, it's been a pleasure talking to you for the past half hour or so. But before I let you go off to do what you do so well, please tell us a little bit more about where people can find you, get to learn more about you, connect with you, and of course, where they can find the new book, Crack the Funding Code.
So, you know, my book is on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, almost anywhere. And if you get it and read it, please write to me if you have any additional questions. My email is judy@judyrobinette.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. You know, happy to talk to people if I can help.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to link to all that in the show notes when this episode is ready to go live. So Judy, thanks a lot for taking the time to come on this show to share your story and your words of wisdom. I truly appreciate the knowledge you've imparted to all of us, and especially to me through this book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Collision Conference. Collision Conference is North America's biggest startup conference where entrepreneurs, thought leaders, investors, and innovators meet to support new ideas, showcase the latest innovations, and discuss the issues that will determine how we will navigate the world of business and technology in the future. The conference starts May 20th to the 23rd in Toronto, Canada, and you can secure your tickets by going to www.collisionconf.com. That's www.collisionconf.com. See you there. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the show today. If you love what you hear on today's episode of the podcast, go to iTunes and leave a review and a comment. It helps other great listeners like yourself find the show. And of course, you can always find more episodes of the Bulletproof Entrepreneur Podcast at www.odogwu.com. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the show today. If you love what you hear on today's episode of the podcast, go to iTunes and leave a review and a comment. It helps other great listeners like yourself find the show. And of course, you can always find more episodes of the Bulletproof Entrepreneur Podcast at www.odogwu.com. And without further ado, on with the show.